First of all, I want to give glory to God Almighty for the opportunity and for Pastor and Pastor Mrs. as well. Thank you so much for this privilege. I don't take it for granted. I pray the Lord bless you as well in Jesus' name. I'm honoring Pastor because I know the impact and the example he's having in my life. I'm learning from him every day, and as well as Pastor Mrs. I don't know if I've shared with my wife before. I said, oh, so many years ago, 3-4 years ago, you know, I had a dream of a pastor I knew in Nigeria, a redeemed pastor, Pastor Fagunroye, something, you know, who I used to work with before, you know, printing stuff. And I had a dream, you know, and I saw him in the church carrying several kids, and he was teaching them. And when it got to my turn to be taught, and I was saying, am I going to sit as well? He said, okay, sit on my laps. And I sat on his lap, and he started teaching me how to play piano, you know. And I forget about the dream. So it was until when we got to Newport, and I was saying, maybe. And I think this is it, is learning. There's something I know I need to learn from you. Whatever the piano means, you know, I receive grace to learn in Jesus' name. Amen. And it's important for every one of us sometimes to realize that when God brings you under a ministry, and God sends you under a ministry, there's something in particular that God wants you to learn. There's something probably missing in your life. And when God tells, you know, when God told Saul of Tarsus and say, go to the house of so-and-so disciple, a brother, because God knew there's something he needed to learn. Hallelujah. And so I honor you, Pastor. Whatever God has laid in your heart, we as followers, our heart is open to learn, and I pray whatever God has given to you as dreams and vision will be fulfilled in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. And Pastor, Mr., I honor you as well. God bless you. Can we give a round of applause to them for the leadership? Hallelujah. Are we ready? We are here not to listen to a message. We are here to be changed and transformed. We are here to be impacted. We are here for an encounter. When we come to God's presence, we are not just there to just listen and say, okay, let me hear what they have to say today. But we are there to be transformed so that by the time we are living, we are not going the same in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Can we just rise on our feet as we read the scripture? Can we just, if the technical guys can bring the, can we open to Colossians 1, 9 to 10? Colossians. Colossians 1, 9 to 10, I read. So we've not stopped praying for you since we first heard about you. We ask God to give you complete knowledge of his will and to give you spiritual wisdom and understanding. Then the way you live will always honor and please the Lord, and your lives will produce every kind of good fruits. All the while, you will grow as you learn to know God better and better. Hallelujah. So that you can grow and bear all manner, all the beautiful kind of fruit. But I tell you, without someone, you can't do it on your own. And Jesus said, without me, you can do what? You can do nothing. So even though we desire to bear fruit, even though desire to produce all manner of beautiful things, Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. And when Jesus was leaving, he said, I'm leaving now, but there's another one who is my exact representative, and his name is called Holy Spirit. I tell you, brethren, without the Holy Spirit, we can do nothing. if somebody in the choir, or if you can project the song, Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place. Hallelujah. Amen. Without the Holy Spirit, no matter what you try to do, it's just in vain. It will just be an exercise in futility. You're just going to be struggling and struggling and struggling. Without the Holy Spirit, it's all efforts are just a waste of time. Hallelujah. Amen. Today we're going to be looking at the purpose and the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. So before we go ahead, we just want to pray and sing the song. Holy Spirit, thou art welcome in this place. Holy Spirit, thou art welcome in this place. Father, all mercy and grace, thou art welcome in this place. We're going to sing that song again, thou art welcome. To welcome the Holy Spirit does not mean he's missing. Hallelujah. To welcome the Holy Spirit does not mean he's what? He's missing. Have you been in a relationship before? When you say, I feel I'm not welcome in this relationship. I feel, I'm not yet part of this friendship. Even though you are present in that relationship, you still feel you are not what? You are not part of it because you've not been fully welcome. Sometimes we have, I'm born again, I have the Holy Spirit, but we've not really welcomed him to take charge. Hallelujah. So the song is that God, I am giving you that free flow in my life. I'm not just saying, come and just be a partner. I want you to be the leader. I want you to be the dictator. I want you to be the master. I want you to be the person that will dictate the pace. Amen. Amen. Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place. Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place. Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place. Omnipotent Father, God, mercy and grace, thou art welcome in this place. Sing it again. Holy Spirit, thou art welcome in this place. Holy Spirit, you are welcome. You are welcome. You are welcome. We are welcome. Holy Spirit, you are welcome in our place, in our meeting, in our hearts. This place, omnipotent Father of mercy and grace, thou art welcome in this place. I just want you to raise your voice to God. Lord, you are welcome. I make you welcome in my heart. I make you welcome. You are not a second citizen. You are not just a follower. Lord, I make you welcome. I make you welcome, Holy Spirit. I make you welcome in my heart, in my family, in my relationship, in my home, in my career. I welcome you. I welcome you, Holy Spirit. I welcome you. I welcome you. I welcome you, Father. Holy Spirit, I welcome you. I recognize your importance. I recognize your purpose. I recognize your power. Holy Spirit, you are welcome. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We welcome you. We welcome you. We welcome you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. We recognize, we realize that you are the most important. You are the most important. Not job, not partner, not future, not destiny, not career, nothing. You are the most important. And so we welcome you in our midst. We welcome you into this service, into this sermon. Lord, by your Spirit, we ask you take charge in Jesus' name. We have not come to just listen to a man. We have come for an encounter with you. Holy Spirit, transform us in the name of Jesus. As we come today, open our eyes, open our mind, open our understanding, Lord. Impact us. Come mightily upon us today in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Today we're going to be looking at the purpose and the power of the Holy Spirit for a fruitful living. Hallelujah. We're going to be looking at the purpose and the power of the Holy Spirit for a fruitful living. How many of you have received the Holy Spirit? If you have, you have baptized in the Holy Spirit, can I see your hands up? If you have not and you desire, can I see your hands up? If you have not but you desire to have the Holy Spirit, can I see your hands up? Okay, now, this is the purpose of the study. For us to see the purpose, because once you don't understand the purpose of something, you might not even desire it. If somebody says, Shagun, I want to give you something nameless, or blah, 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 and I say, what is it? They said, it has no description. There's a possibility that I won't desire it because I don't understand it, I don't know the description, I don't know what it does. Amen. So today's teaching is to open our eyes to why is the Holy Spirit important in the life of a believer or in the life of a Christian. Amen. The first importance is for us to do things God's way. Hallelujah. Doing it God's way. If you have your Bible open to Genesis chapter 1, read from verse 1 to 3. Hallelujah. Genesis 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and empty. Darkness covered the deep waters. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the water. 3. Then God said, let there be what? Let there be light. Which means, before God Almighty said a single word, the Holy Spirit had to move. Before God Almighty, who created the whole heaven and the earth, spoke one single word, the Holy Spirit had to what? To move. To show you how important this person is. How many things do we say without the Holy Spirit? I want to do this, I want to do this, my future, this is my destiny, without the Holy Spirit. If God the Father himself, the Almighty, who has all the powers in the world to do whatever he wants to do, but he waited for the Holy Spirit to move. And when the Spirit moved, then he spoke. Because God will not speak where the Holy Spirit is not moving. Do you hear that? God will not speak wherever the Holy Spirit is not moving. That's how important it is. So before God created the whole world, it depended on who? The Holy Spirit. Secondly, Matthew 3, 13 to 17, that talks about the account of Jesus. Jesus has been on the earth for how many years? 30 good years. Matthew chapter 3, from 13 to 17. We'll quickly read. I'll read. Then Jesus went from Galilee to Jordan River to be baptized by John. But John tried to talk him out of it. "I am the one who needs to be baptized by you," he said. "So why are you coming to me?" But Jesus said, "It should be done, for we must carry out all that God requires." Amen. John saw Jesus coming and said, No. "You should be the one to baptize me." And Jesus made a statement. "No. I understood how the Father did it in the beginning. Because the Father could not say a word without the Holy Spirit moving. And he told John, I must do it the way God requires it to be done. That is, I can't start my ministry until the Holy Spirit moves." So God Almighty could say no word without the Holy Spirit moving. And Jesus too stepped into the scene and said, "You know what? I can't do anything until the Holy Spirit moves." You see, you realize it? This Holy Spirit was very important then. Because by just looking at it on the surface, you might just say, "Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, speak in tongues." It's more. It's more. Because Holy Spirit is like a treasure. Say treasure. It's like a treasure, 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 treasure. So we see, first, the Father, God Almighty, could do nothing. He couldn't say a word without the Holy Spirit. Jesus came into the world. He could do no miracle, no single miracle, even though it was God in the flesh. But he waited. He was waiting, waiting for this to happen. To tell you how important the Holy Spirit is in the life of a man. Thirdly, look at the account of Luke 24, 44 to 49, and Acts 1, 4 to 5, just tells you the account of the church as well. If you have your Bible open to you, just look at Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, we'll read from 4 to 5. "Once when he was eating with them, he commanded them, 'Do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised. As I told you before, John baptized with water. But in just a few days, you will be baptized with what?'" You will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. If God was being cautious before he takes a step, it means this thing must be very, 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 very important. It's something you should take time to study, to inquire, or to pray about. So, in the agenda of God, from Genesis, the Old Testament, to the New Testament, God was careful to highlight that very important point, saying, "I can do as God, do nothing except by my Spirit." So, how much more we? Jesus' birth, his death, and resurrection all happen because of who? The Holy Spirit. And the angel came to Mary,
Gabriel.
Oh, Hail Mary. And you shall conceive and have a child, and it shall be called who? Jesus. And Mary said, oh, how can this be? Seeing that I do not know what? Know a man. He said, don't worry. But when the Holy Spirit will come upon you and overshadow you, what seems to be unreasonable will become reasonable. Because it won't make sense. It doesn't make sense for a virgin to give birth. He said, don't worry. In that realm, 1 plus 1 does not equal what? 2. Because in the realm of God, there are infinite possibility. He said, when that Holy Spirit comes upon you, then you, the virgin, will have what? A child. And the Bible recorded, by the power of the Holy Spirit, Jesus did what? Gave his life. He said, if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, it will do what? It will quicken your mortal body. Romans 8. So which means the birth, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus dependent on who? The Holy Spirit. We're stressing the importance now so that you can actually sit down and think and say, even though I've been born again, not even once for the past 1 week, 1 month, 1 year, have I even prayed to the Holy Spirit? Or even say, Holy Spirit, or just know, Father Jesus, I thank you, you know, and that's it. The importance of the Holy Spirit. So the death, the birth, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus all happen by the power of the Holy Spirit. For you to do it God's way, you must follow this order. A life, a family, has just been run by on their own. It's just, I tell you, the statement of truth, or you can call it fact, is just an exercise in futility. Because if God that you and I pray to every day, God, you know, save us, this is happening, and you say, well, do it my way. This is my way. This is the pattern. Without the Holy Spirit, I wasn't able to create the world. Without the Holy Spirit, I could not die for humanity. Without the Holy Spirit, I wasn't able to be raised from the dead. So whatever you want to do, and you want to do it the right way or God's way, you must first depend on who? The Holy Spirit. Because that's the pattern. The Holy Spirit. I'll give you a parable. It's not in the Bible, it's just my own the story I came up with to highlight the point. Is a story of a foolish city. Come on, say foolish city.
Foolish city.
Foolish city. That is, they have beautiful cars without engine. Imagine a city. Just imagine. A city that was cut off from the rest of the world or civilization. Pick a city, whatever city you want to pick, put it in your head. Suddenly, somehow, they have been cut off from civilization or rest of the world. So left in the city were different types of expensive cars. We have the Ferrari, come on, give me some Ferrari. Rolls Royce, Bentley, Jaguar, Benz. Oh, that one is too, is part of it. Okay, Benz, Aston Martins, Maserati. Which is that? The name of a footballer or name of a
Maserati?
Oh, okay, I don't. You see, that's another level.
Tesla.
Okay, I know that one. Elon Musk. Insignia. Oh, Insignia. Okay, which one is that one? Okay, well, they've been cut off from civilization. So left in the city were different types of expensive car without engine. That is, the engines have knocked. So these beautiful cars continue to receive external upgrades, like painting, decoration, to make it look attractive and beautiful. So they've been cut off from civilization, they've been cut off from the rest of the world. All they had was what? Expensive cars, engine that has what? Knocked. So there's no hope of, they don't have the technology, they don't have the capacity to build new engine. All they have to do now is just to, you know, modernize what they have. Because if you don't have the engine, you still have to drive. So all they have to do is to use either an elephant or a cow to pull the car. Very expensive. Maserati, Aston Martin. Is it Aston? Aston Martin, Jaguar. So that's all they had. The engine has what? Has knocked. And they continue for several generations. Imagine what will happen. Imagine the mentality of, let's say, the 14th generation down the line that grew up in that settings. And they say, oh, somebody, imagine somebody just wakes up one day, oh, I'm going on my Ferrari. And just sit down in the Ferrari and say, cow, lion, come on, drive. Or people are pushing from the back. Because that's what they've grown up to know. The foolish city. Cut. Something happened. They were cut out from what? Civilization. They were cut out from the rest of the world. We're going somewhere. What do you think the mentality of the new generation will be? Number one, riding cars without engine will be their daily normal. It's just normal. Normal. You know, Ferrari, Maserati, whatever. It's just normal. That's what I was born into. They will have built their lives around it. They will be ready to defend and fight anything contrary to what they have known, to protect tradition. Imagine the resistance you face when you preach Christ to certain people. That's restrictions. You say, this is what we've always known. This is the normal. This is just normal. You know, this is just normal. What are you bringing? So they defend it. Imagine their mentality. Citizens driving, you know, moving on a car without what? Without an engine. Some people, some of them, I want to travel fast. They will ask people, just push me from the back. Or go and rent elephant or cow, be pushing. Yes, the car is moving. But they don't understand that there's something that is missing. There's something. There's an ignition system. Ignition system that is missing. See, no matter how beautiful or decorated those cars are, they can never be compared to the smallest, ugliest car that has an engine. No matter how beautiful, how decorated, how nice, how, is it pimp my ride? Pimp it up, put it, you know, gadgets and everything, you know, be king in the land of the foolish city. Just a small, you can say, ugly car with an engine. You see, very small, you see, ugly. All of those well-decorated cars are not a match for that car that you think is what? Is wretched, is ugly, and it's not beautiful. Just because of what? That ignition system. Matthew 11:11 says, truly I tell you, among those born of women, there has never risen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Yet, whoever is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater. Is greater than who? Than John himself. Because if you just look at the statement on the face of it, you may be confused. You say, so all that came before John, you say, none of them is what? Is as equal as what? John the Baptist. But however, the least in the kingdom is greater than what? All of them. Which means no matter how decorated the cars of the foolish cities are, they can't be a match for one single car with an engine. And I tell you, that engine is the Holy Spirit. So I tell you the truth, if you don't have the Holy Spirit in you, you are just like a car without an engine. Full stop. Without the Holy Spirit, you're just like a car that's been pushed by system mechanisms that human beings have devised over the years to move, to push. But I tell you, a little child, a little man or woman with the ignition system is as powerful as millions of people without the Holy Spirit. The power and the purpose of the Holy Spirit. So, an old woman in that foolish city kept telling people, you know, guys, this thing you are doing is not really, I know when I say car, I know how it sounds. Hallelujah. When I hear a car, I know how it's what? How it sounds. And he keeps telling them, I'm waiting, I'm watching for that sound, because once I see it and I hear it, I can say, that is it. And John came to Jordan. He said, I've been baptizing. I've been doing all of this. When I see it, I know it. See, John was going everywhere. He said, look, there's something I'm looking for, because when I hear it, I recognize it. It's like people driving all those cars, being pushed by elephants, being pushed, but the man is saying, I know when I zoom. That is the ignition. And John saying, I'm just waiting and searching. When upon the man that you see what? The Holy Spirit come upon. That is him. Hallelujah. Because all humanity has been doomed without the Holy Spirit. The importance of the Holy Spirit. John 1:29-34. The next day John saw Jesus coming towards him and said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one I meant when I said, a man comes after me. He has surpassed me because he was before me. Myself did not know him, but the reason I came baptizing water was that I might reveal him to Israel. Then John gave this testimony. I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remained on him. That's the sign. Come and say, that's the sign. That is the ignition. That is the ignition. That is the ignition. And I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, the man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is the one you baptize, who baptized with the Holy Spirit. I have seen and I testify that this is God's chosen. There were a lot of people there performing religious ceremony. Oh, Pharisee coming, we baptize this and that. Like that old man in that foolish city. He said, look at all this parade that is happening. Pimp my ride. Amen. Touch my car. Touch my Ferrari. And the man is saying, all this one you are just doing is what? It's just parade. When I hear it, I know. When I hear zoom, beep, beep, I know this is it. Because all the ones the other people have been doing is just what? You know, people, how can you be riding a car for 20 years? That's what you've been knowing. Push. People are just pushing without knowing that there's something real. Why will you fake it when we can have it real? The purpose and the power of the Holy Spirit. When humanity fell in the garden through Adam. You know what we lost? The Holy Spirit. That is what we lost. Imagine all the suffering that human beings have been suffering since Adam. It's because of one thing, the loss of the Holy Spirit. That's how important this personality is. And God told Adam, if you touch this tree, what will happen to you? If you eat the fruit, what will happen to you? You do what? On that day, did he die? But the Bible says, in the day, that's what the Bible says. The Bible says, in the day that you eat it, you do what? You will die. But you know, Adam lived so hundreds of years after, because something happened that day. It wasn't just the opening of their eyes. It wasn't just, oh, we are naked. Something tangible died. And that is the Holy Spirit. The power of the Holy Spirit. I tell you, if you want to know how powerful Adam was before his death, look at the life of Jesus before his resurrection. How can a man, just one single man, name all the animals? To name is to give them a name and give them a nature. Because the name represents what? The nature. You say, you are lion, you'll be wild, you'll be this and that. That's how powerful Adam was. Living without constraint, living in abundance, having access to resources. All of that became possible because of what? The Holy Spirit. And Jesus came, and that was restored back to him. And Jesus became a living wonder. The Bible says how Jesus and how God anointed Jesus with what? With the Holy Spirit and power. He went about doing good. Because of what? The Holy Spirit. Every miracle, every wonder that you think Jesus performed was because of what? The Holy Spirit. So if you want to say, how did Adam actually live? What happened? How was he able to? Look at what happened in the life of Christ. Because actually, Christ before the resurrection was what? The second Adam. Amen. Access. The Bible says, he said, I've given you all the vegetations. I've given you all the animals. I've given you this. I've given you that. Multiply, be fruitful, have dominion, take control. Which means, if there is a lack somewhere, and Adam gets to that river, Adam can say, there's no fish here. Fish, come out. Really? Because when Jesus came, and they came, say, oh, Jesus, we need to pay, tax? Jesus said, tax. Okay. Remember, day four, God said, and God created abundance. Say, let there be fish, let them create. What Jesus did, he just stepped into day four. Boom. Pull out. Because what Adam lost, I tell you in the spirit, God told me this, what Adam lost is access to those days. Because there are technology, there are mysteries locked in those days. There are what? Mysteries, technology, depths. Are locked within those days. Day one, day two, day three. Everything Jesus, God did. Day one, day two. Adam literally can press into them. It's like you have day one here, day two here, day three here, day four here. If it's getting late and you feel, I still need time to do whatever I'm going to do, you step into that day and stop the sun. What happened when the children of Israel, when they were fighting the battle of the Lord, and is it Gideon? Joshua, what did he say? Stop! Because when God said, man, I give you dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, the stars, the moon, you have power. It is an enormous, the Holy Spirit. You see, if you know what they lost. When I was doing a study and God, Holy Spirit just said, let me just take you to
through what Adam lost. Do you know, for this, I was just, will I say cry? Or just say, my God, my God, my God, my God. Yeah, 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 yeah. Ha! Because all I've been thinking was just to be sent out of the garden. No, it's much more. And Jesus came, just looked at a man that has a withered hand. Just say, okay, you have a withered hand. Come on, bring it over. And immediately, what happened? The hand grew to normal. Because you can access the six. The Bible says, and the Pharisee came to him and said, Jesus, why are you healing? Knowing that what? It's a Sabbath. He said, you do understand the scripture. He said, man is not made for Sabbath. But Sabbath what? Made for a man. And you know, God rested. So if the Sabbath, the 7 days that God rested was being made for man, it means day one, day two, day three, day four has been made for me. Whatever I need, I can access. The power of the Holy Spirit. Every lack, every problem, every challenge, it's because of one single thing. The lack of the power of the Holy Spirit in the life of a believer. Adam did not just lose a garden. Not just the Garden of Eden. Not just the beautiful flowers. Not just a beautiful environment. He lost the what we call the grip on nature. The grip on situation. That grip you have on circumstances. And Jesus came. And he was waiting. You can now see why he was waiting. He said, I couldn't do anything. No, I can't. I can't. I have to wait for that one that can connect me back to what Adam lost. The power. Because when you are connected and linked to the Holy Spirit, it's like coming back to the garden, and that garden gives you access to the days of heaven on earth. Amen. And Jesus was given a parable. Said the kingdom of God is like a man that finds a treasure in what? In a field. And for the joy of it, what did he do? He went about to sell what? All that he has. To do what? To buy that field. Because you know that when you buy that field, what belongs to you? That treasure. And you know what that treasure is? Do you know what that treasure is? It's the Holy Spirit and His power. Struggle in life. Challenges, tell you, can go just like this when you can connect to the Holy Spirit. I pray that the Lord will give you such a desire for that treasure in Jesus' name. I'm praying. I'm not telling you what I'm not doing. Every time, for years now, anytime people will pray, you know, praise the Lord, let them know, okay, 5 minutes, go back. You know, when we are leading prayer, I say, we give you 5 minutes, and let us just go and, you know, pray and whatever. There's one thing I'm asking for, Lord, that treasure. I'm asking for nothing. That what? That, because once you take hold of that treasure, the every other thing is just ephemeral. One single thing I desire is for my hand to lay hold on that treasure. Because once I have it, I tell you, to be like, you know, when Elisha, you know, he was saying, following Elijah. He's saying, I'm following, I want to see you. And the sons of the prophet did not know that. Once he gets that treasure, what happened? Every other people are bowing to him, because once you get that treasure, that Holy Spirit, situations and circumstances will literally bow to you. You will manipulate life as if they are nothing. I won't say I'm there, but every day for years I've been asking Lord to grow in your presence, to lay hold of your power and your glory. That's one single light desire. Because once you get old, the Bible says, this is the kingdom. A man find a treasure, understand it. Say, this is it. I will sell my dignity. I will sell whatever to get it. Because once you get it, you've gotten everything. Because whatever, all the things that people are looking for will be running after you. That is the power. power of the Holy Spirit. Zechariah 4, as we start rounding up. Zechariah chapter 4, from verse 1 to 7. The purpose of the Holy Spirit. Then the angel who had been talking with me returned and woke me up as though I had been asleep. "What do you see now?" he asked. I answered and said, "A solid gold lampstand with a bowl on oil on top of it. Around the bowl are seven lamps, and they have seven sprouts with wicks, and I see the two olive trees, one on each side of the bowl." Then I asked the angel, "What are these, my lord? What do they mean?" "Do you not know?" the angel asked. "No, my lord," and he replied. Then he said to me, "This is what the Lord said to Zerubbabel: it is not by force, nor by strength, but by my spirit, says the Lord." It is not by power, it is not by strength, it is not by just trying hard. It is what? By my spirit, says the Lord. So these are the two personalities you need. Number one, you need Jesus, who is the Word of God. The Word of God, the Bible says, is a lamp unto my feet, Psalm 119:108. He said, the Word of God is a what? Lamp unto my feet. But it's not just the Word that you need alone. You need the Holy Spirit, the holy anointing oil that is poured upon you. The mistake that we believers will make is because we think all I need is just Jesus. All I need is what? It's not all you need. You need the Holy Spirit. It takes us to the story of the foolish virgin. So I was so happy when Pastor Missy was mentioning the story of the foolish virgin, the 10 virgin. I said, "Wow, that's what I've written down." You know the mistake of the foolish virgin? The Bible says they have what? The lamp. But they did not carry what? Extra oil. What is the lamp? It's the Word of God that you have with you. And but there's something they don't have. They don't appreciate. They don't nourish. They don't know His power. It's what? It's the oil. It's that anointing oil. It's the Holy Spirit. I tell you, if you have Jesus, you will enter heaven. But without the Holy Spirit, you can't live a fruitful, abundant, a fulfilling, a nourishing life in this world. It takes the two combination to succeed. And he said, "What do you see?" He said, "I see that olive trees pouring." There are two, the Word and the Spirit kicks in. He said, "Those mountains that you see before you, in an instance, they fly away." And Jesus said, "If you have faith, you will say to this mountain," not just "I believe in Jesus," but the grip of the power of the Holy Spirit, mountain will literally disappear before you. Can we stand on our feet? The power, the purpose of the Holy Spirit. If you have Jesus, my friend, brother and sister, you will make heaven. I will make heaven. If I have Jesus, I will make heaven. How many minutes do we have left? 5 minutes? Okay, thank you. I will make heaven, but without the Holy Spirit, I will live a miserable, unfulfilled, unsatisfied, regrettable, painful life. The power and purpose of the Holy Spirit for just enough to overflow. Jesus has not come for you to just have, "I have enough." God wants to bring you to an overflow. For you to have that overflow, it is the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, you are welcome in my life. Holy Spirit, You are welcome in my life. Omnipotent God of mercy and grace. Holy Spirit, you are welcome in my life. I want you to sing that song, Holy Spirit. You are welcome to take charge. You are welcome to have an overflow. Holy Spirit, come, have overflow, come and take charge. Holy Spirit, without you, all my efforts are just waste of time. Holy Spirit, we open our hearts, we open our family, we open our ministry, we open our destiny to you. Holy Spirit, you are the most important factor in life. Not even life, not even purpose, not even destiny. Lord, Holy Spirit, you are the most important. So we open our hearts, our home, our ministry, our destiny to you. Holy Spirit of God, come, have an overflow in our life today. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. I want you to open your mouth up as we begin to round up. Holy Spirit, come, 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 come. Come and have your way. Come and have your charge. Take charge. Have an overflow. Lord, you are the most important in this relationship. You are the driver. I am the passenger. You are the master. I am the servant. You are the lead. I am the follower. Holy Spirit, come and take charge. Come and have your way. Holy Spirit, you are the most important. You are the most important. I've neglected you long enough. I've neglected you long enough. You are the most important. You are the most important. You are the most important. Holy Spirit, in Jesus' mighty name we pray.